Self-aware millennial. Hey, welcome back to the Self-Aware Millennial, everybody. I am your host, Jay Mix, and I have really exciting episode coming up for y'all because this was definitely a topic that I wanted to talk about a long time ago, and I'm just happy that I have two wonderful people coming on to help me discuss this because we got a lot to unpack. So before I go into telling y'all who we have on the episode today, I want to give y'all a couple of announcements. First and foremost, I want to give a special happy birthday to one of my good friends, Lawrence Brooks. He just turned 111 this past weekend, and they had a wonderful, wonderful celebration, socially distanced celebration for him. They had a beautiful flyover that made me cry. The bells sang for him. They had a bunch of folks outside, just like on the sidewalk, just wanted to congratulate him and, you know, tell him happy birthday. They had a drive-by for him. It was wonderful. I know I've mentioned Lawrence on Patreon a couple of times, but I don't know if I've ever really told you guys about Lawrence, but he's a good friend of mine now. I really got a chance to know him the first time I got a chance to sing happy birthday to him when he turned 108 a couple of years ago. And he got sick around, I wouldn't say he got sick, but he fell on his hip like maybe 2 years ago. And he was in the hospital and I found out about it and I was like, well, let me go reintroduce myself to him just as me because I'm usually in my bell getup and for some reason people don't recognize me when I'm not in my bell attire, which is wonderful because it's like I have two different personas. It's pretty nice. But anywho, I get to the hospital room and Lawrence is there just chilling. I think he was in his chair and I like came in and he was like, who is this? And then I was like, this is the victory bell that sang for you last year for your 108th birthday. And he was like, oh yes, I remember. And I told him like, you know, I heard that he was in the hospital and I wanted to come and see how he was doing. And he was doing fine when I got there. I mean, and I'll also say that his room was definitely like the most popular room. All the nurses were like hanging out in his room when I was there. And like, it was just so nice. So he was doing really good. And he was only in there like you look at him and he does not look the age that he actually is. And he takes really good care of himself. And I just hope that when I get to 111 years old, that I look just as flawlessly as he does. But this past birthday that we sang for him, it was wonderful because we got a chance to finally sing, lift every voice and sing for him, which is, if you're not familiar, it's the Black National Anthem. And I think it was just very crucial in this point in time that we were to sing this song for him. So ever since that second meeting that I had with him in the hospital, I've been keeping up with him ever since and just making sure that he's doing all right, that he has everything that he needs, that his family has everything that he needs, and I will vouch for them until my dying day. Lawrence is currently the eldest World War II veteran in the entire country. I'm not sure about the world, but I think he's also the oldest in the world, but don't quote me on that. He has received over 10,000 cards from people from all around the world for his birthday. I am lucky if for my birthday I get one card, but for him to get 10,000, it is completely deserved, and he's going to be reading those birthday messages for the next year, if not the next 2 years, 3 years. Outside of Lawrence's 111th birthday being like the highlight of my break between the last episode and now, another wonderful highlight is that I have been killing it roller skating. I've been roller skating pretty much every single day and it has been wonderful. It's such a nice release. I don't necessarily like running at this time of year. It's still a little warm and I don't like running in the middle of, you know, New Orleans summer. So roller skating is just a great alternative. And also, I've been meeting a lot of other roller skaters and they're all just some awesome people. So I'm learning some wonderful new tricks and like, I don't know why I didn't start roller skating like this sooner, but I'm doing it now. I found my niche and I am not going to be stopping anytime soon. So as we know on TSAM, there is nothing that is TMI. So I want to let y'all know about my period that I was on during this break as well. It, for the first time, actually the last couple of periods I've had, it's been so normal since I've been on this IUD. It's been crazy and I love it. Like, remember how I used to say a couple of months ago where the periods lasted almost like 10 to 14 days? Like, now it has finally returned back to like the 7-day situation. So it's just wonderful for me because I'm already a very sexually active person that doesn't necessarily like to have sex on their period, but doesn't mind it every now and then. It's just great because now I don't have to wait nearly as long as I had been in the past. Another cool thing I noticed since I feel like my period has become more regulated is that my body will tell me at least a week in advance when I'm about to have my period. And let me tell you how it does this. It's just so cool. I just start cramping. I start cramping out of nowhere, and it's like more terrible than the cramps I have during my actual period. But the cool thing about these cramps is that when I get them, I don't bleed nearly as much. It's like just a small light spotting. Like I could control it. It doesn't like damage my underwear or anything. So that's a really cool phenomenon that has happened. And I'm just so happy that my body's telling me at least a week in advance when I have to get ready to have this period. And then the periods itself are not nearly as heavy anymore. They're still like around the same amount, but it's not nearly as unbearable as it used to be. So if you're interested in having any sort of birth control, I will highly vouch for the copper IUD Paragard, okay? And while we're on the subject of periods, right quick, I wanted to quickly just like kind of talk about this because I know this is a thing, especially with vagina owners that have periods. I always find myself right after my period, and I don't know why it is. I think it's probably because you start ovulating right after your period is over, but I always want sex. Like I'm really horny like all the time. So I'm kind of in that situation right now. And I mean, y'all could probably tell by the way I'm like posting on Instagram about sex like all the time, but I have so many questions. It's just so many curiosities and so many things I want to try out. So I guess it's not an invitation to like have sex with me or anything, but like, I'm just letting y'all know that I'm really intrigued and want to have these conversations about things that are a little bit more or less normalized than your normal sex conversation, if that makes any sense. So with that, I'm going to be making an announcement. If you tuned into last week's episode, you saw my preview, basically a preview episode of what the Chronicles of Non-Monogamy series is going to be like on my Patreon series. So the Patreon, I'm currently looking for some guests to feature on there. It's going to exclusively premiere on October 1st. We're going to be discussing the uncommon, the overlooked, and the downright explicit curiosities and practices that humans experience while engaging in sexual and or non-monogamous encounters. So if you're interested in joining the conversation, shoot me a message on Instagram and I will add you to the list. Before we get into this topic that we are discussing today, I want to do a quick disclaimer for my parents and my married folks out there, because we will be discussing the joys of not being married and not having kids. I'm in that period of my millennialhood where folks want me to get married and have kids, or the expectation is to get married and have kids. I've always been annoyed with just seeing my peers in general follow the trend of what they're supposed to be doing at that time in their life, or what they think they're supposed to be doing. So that right now, like everybody that I know is getting married or they're having children. And I'm not exactly sure if all these people actually want this for their lives, but because I feel as though a lot of folks are sheeple, they follow the leader and they don't necessarily follow what they truly want. And by the time they look up years later, they've realized that they could have waited or that they didn't even want kids in the first place. But I also know that once folks have kids or they get married, they have it in their mindset where they're like, okay, I've made the decision for myself and, you know, I have to live with it. So they're going to reroute their brain to think, okay, well, I can't change this and I would not change my life for the opportunity to be a mother, to be a father, to be a wife, to be a husband. Anywho, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more with my next guests. We have the wonderful Destiny Simone and Therese Green. So Destiny is a Houston native who now resides in New Orleans. She received her bachelor's degree in theater performance from Dillard University. She's currently cultivating and growing her music career and brand, Horoscope Honey. She will be releasing her first body of music titled Venus and Scorpio in November. And Therese Green is a NOLA native, early childhood educator, and social justice warrior like myself. Passions include reading, dismantling patriarchal systems, and crawfish like me. All right, y'all. I hope y'all enjoy this next episode with Therese and Destiny. Okay, everybody. Welcome, Destiny and Therese, to the Self-Aware Millennial. This is so wonderful. This is the first time that we've had three Black women talking. If you're following us on YouTube, you'll be able to see our wonderful, pretty faces. But if you're not, if you're just watching us or listening to us on, you know, your favorite podcast streaming service, then, I mean, hopefully you'll be able to go to YouTube and just, you know, check out the facial expressions at some point. But first, I want to do a little icebreaker. As everyone knows, hopefully at this point, we have a wonderful icebreaker segment called Ponytails that I created. So it's Ponytails with Tails spelled T-A-L-E-S. It was a weekly interactive series that premiered on my Instagram story last year where I asked my friends to tell their tales with the ponytail in their head. And I would give the name of the topic and then I would tell my ponytail and then ask my friends to do the same. So the ponytail inspired question in relation to what we're going to be talking about a little bit later, I want to know, have you ever cried at a wedding before and why?
I always cry at weddings because I'm a hopeless romantic and I just get overwhelmed with the idea of...
Wait. Hold on. Say your name just so everybody knows who you are because, you know...
Okay, I'm Destiny. I always cry at weddings because it's so beautiful. Like, I don't know. I cry at everything.
And what about you, Therese?
Okay. I don't think I've ever cried at a wedding, but I've gotten a little teary-eyed. I definitely feel like a... Okay, Destiny talked about how, like, it's so beautiful, you know? And I really feel that, too. But I have more of, like, a... especially when I'm close to the person that's getting married, like, a nostalgic feeling, like that, a feeling almost, I'm happy for my friend or family member, almost like a loss, like feeling for me.
Hold on, we gotta unpack this. First, I'm gonna go with Destiny. Wait, hold on, let me talk about me first. So I have cried at a wedding before. I don't know exactly why. I had it when I was growing up, like, I would say up until maybe, I don't know, I was 18 or 19. I went to a bunch of weddings growing up. Like, my mom put me in weddings because she's a wedding specialist. And so, like, sometimes the brides just needed a junior bride or they needed a flower girl. So I was just always, like, that person that they chose if they didn't have anybody. So, you know, me growing up with weddings, like, it didn't really, like, phase me or anything up until, like, I don't know, I must have been around the time I hit puberty or, like, a little later, like, all of a sudden, like, I'm realizing, like, the importance of what a marriage is, and I don't know where it's coming from, I just start crying, so, and, you know, like, and I don't know, it may be because I feel like there's a finality in it, and I'm like, oh, happily ever after, this is the after. I don't know if it's the happily or the after. I don't know. We'll unpack that in a little bit. I want to talk about what Destiny just said. Destiny, you said that you're not sure why you cry at weddings. Do you see yourself when you are experiencing someone's wedding in some way? Like, are you maybe thinking about another person, somebody that you might want to marry, or just, you know, someone that you, like, are interested in at that point? Like, I'm really trying to figure out, like, what is the culprit for at least mostly women. I mean, men do cry at weddings too, but, like, I feel like it's mostly a womanized thing that we be crying. I'm, like, trying to figure out why, like, what.
We be crying.
Yeah.
Because I can really only remember three weddings that I went to. One was when I was really, really young and I was angry. I don't think I actually cried at that wedding, but I was like four or something. But I was mad because I thought I was going to marry the groom.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to be there. And another wedding I went to was my sister's wedding. And I actually, like, I really love the idea of two people committing to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I really enjoy the idea of two people deciding, you know, this is what, you know, we want to be together for the rest of our lives and we want to show it to everybody. Mm-hmm. But also, I remember that my sister's wedding specifically crying because it was like, oh, wow, she's grown.
That's true. Like, it hits different when you know the person, like, personally.
Yeah. Right. It was like, oh my God, like, wow. And then my other sister's wedding, I guess I cried at hers, but I guess for the same reason. But it was also like, I don't know. It's just everybody's always so happy. Usually I'm a little bit tipsy. That may have something to do. And I don't know. I love love. I just love love. And I love when people fall in love. And I just love them showing they love to everybody.
Okay, cool. And what about you, Therese? So you said something about the finality. Nostalgia. Yeah. What? Okay. Yeah. Explain that.
Okay. So it's kind of a hard feeling to put your finger on. I hear what Destiny's saying. I feel all of that. That's amazing. Beautiful. But I also feel a sense of like this person is somehow less mine. My relationship with this person might change now that they have a different priority. This also happens when I find out that my friends are pregnant. This is the same thing.
Gotcha.
I think I'm an only child, and I take my friendships are like family. I think that unless you're an only child, you don't really understand that feeling of what, because everybody, like, of course your friends are like family, but when you actually have sisters or brothers, when you actually have family, you have a hierarchy, right? We all have hierarchy for the relationships that we have in our lives. But someone who has no family, those hierarchies consist of the people that we love who are not blood related to us. And it's very difficult. It's difficult, but I hope I'm making sense.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. So you're looking at it from the perspective of losing someone, not gaining someone.
Connection.
But I mean, also, who are you losing? Like, let's say, okay, let's just say you're going to a wedding. I'm trying to figure out this from the context of what you're describing. Are you talking about like you're losing both the bride and the groom, or are you?
So I'm losing the person that I know.
I'm also generalizing. I do know that people get married of all different sexes. There's brides and brides and grooms, and you know, all different types. But like, I'm talking about right now, just bride and groom. All right, keep going.
Yeah. So the feeling that I get is in regards to the person that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to a wedding where I didn't like personally know either the bride or the groom. But I would assume that in that instance, I would not cry.
Right. So are you saying that the person that you know the most, you're feeling like you're losing them as a friend or whatever?
Not necessarily that the friendship is lost, but there's a fear that closeness that I felt will no longer be able to transpire because the hierarchy has
changed.
Yeah. Now they're going to take priority with their spouse.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like that when my friends get boyfriends. Like,
yeah,
I don't really want to, like, I would usually call right now, but I'm gonna just text her because, you know, I don't know what's going on.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm thinking about that. I was like, dang, I really got to think about it. At least for me, like, I feel like what y'all both have said, I've definitely felt as well in my own life. I think it just honestly depends on where I am in my life is right. How I'm going to feel about that wedding that I'm going to. Cause it really depends. Like sometimes I just like imagine myself getting married, like not even to the person that like whoever's getting married to, but like it's I just like kind of put myself in those shoes, and I'm like, okay, oh, here I am, you know, hi preacher, hi everybody out there, you know, like I think about it and I just start imagining. I'm a very imaginative person. Anyway, thank y'all so much for your ponytails. Now we can let our hair down and talk about everything else. Okay. All right, and Destiny's gonna keep her hair in ponytail, and that's okay. So, this topic we are talking about today, y'all, I chose all three of us because, like myself, we're unhitched and we are childless. And I felt that this kind of conversation, although I was thinking about, like, having, you know, someone come on that either is with child or is married, I was like, okay, no, I want to have this kind of safe space for us as folks that also are Black women, but I wanted to just have that sort of space for us to discuss these things without having like other folks that are in a different ballpark than we are. Not necessarily saying that they're better or that we're better than them, but like, I just want us to have this space as a safe spot to talk about whatever. So I want to get into like a few facts before we actually really get into it. There was a 2019 study conducted by Pew Research that shows that 33% of all millennials are married. I do encourage my wives and mothers out there to contribute to this conversation. However, but just understand that, you know, it may be a little bit before we can actually get another mother or someone that is married to talk about this conversation on this platform. But just know that I am looking to hear from you as well. I've already gotten a few responses in my DMs from other folks that have just been kind of encouraging me to be open about this, because I always sometimes feel bad that I'm bringing this up sometimes. It makes me almost feel like I'm being too bitter or, you know, like just being selfish in a way of like not wanting kids, but like also wanting to rub it in their face and be like, yeah, I don't have kids and I'm kind of happy about it and I want to let them know, or I want like to tell it to their face without feeling bad about it. So another reason why I brought both of you on here was because if Destiny is cool with me talking about it, the reason why this whole conversation started, this whole conversation just like kind of sparked my interest was, it was a status that you had put up a couple of weeks ago. I forget exactly what you were talking about in particular. Like, I can't say it word for word, but from what I do remember, you were concerned that there were family and friends of yours that were contacting you because you were basically expressing yourself, you know, you're grown women now, and you are showing things that you feel like showing that grown folks can do. And you've had some feedback from your friends and family that are, I think, personally in touch with your mother, and your mother came and, you know, like said something on your page. And that's when I like came in and said something. I was like, you know, this isn't cool. I said like, there was like a gas, it felt very gaslighty in a way in certain aspects of it. But I mean, again, I didn't want to protrude too much because I knew, okay, I'm not her mother, and I know motherhood will make you feel certain different ways about certain different things, but I did feel as though that there were some things that she had said that I was like, okay, I mean, I know you're her mother, but like, I don't feel as though some of the things that she said, it felt very controlling when she didn't have to be controlling anymore. Like, you're a grown adult and you have the ability to make the decisions. And I mean, yes, everyone makes mistakes. Even at her age, she makes mistakes too. And it's like, you're going to learn from them whether or not, like, you can't protect your children forever. Right. So anyway, I want to talk about with you, Destiny, just a little bit about how you were feeling about that. Because we didn't really completely talk about it. I just kind of gave you my support from the outside. Yay. I was like, I got you.
I support you, girl. And I needed it at that time. I really did. Because I was shook. I was really shook because... Yeah. My mother and I were having a conversation. Well, she texted me asking me what I posted this reel where I was, you know, scantily clad. Uh-huh. And she had already told me that she wasn't looking at my Instagram and stuff like that because things were getting, you know, like that. So I was just like, okay, that's great. So I'm posting, you know, what I want to post.
Uh-huh.
But she messaged me and told me that somebody was concerned. She asked me what the video was about because somebody was concerned.
Oh.
It's just like, I don't know how to answer that question. Like, I don't know what the video, I don't know what you mean, what the video is about. But like, she just started, you know, asking me about, like, she started saying, like, you don't know how you're portraying yourself. And it was very reminiscent of conversations that we've been having all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I already am always looking over my shoulder because I'm always thinking, what is my mother going to think about this?
Yeah, always.
What I do, like, I'm always thinking, okay, what is my mom going to think about this? And it does not concern her.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't keep holding myself back. And I was very upset that, like, this concern, like, that really, that bothered me. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, what are y'all talking about? What are y'all concerned about? That I'm not, that what? What's the, I just, there's no need to be concerned. And it kind of irritated me that it was designated as a cry for help or a cry for attention. Like, that was,
yeah.
So it's just like, it angered me and it made me feel a little bit defeated because it was like, I just really can't be myself with my mom. And my mother and I are extremely close. So it was kind of like, it's kind of, in this whole phase of my life is kind of like me separating from her, like just taking it for what it is and still loving her, having more compassion for her, because I did need to kind of think about like where she was coming from. Cause I get it, but even where she was coming from, I really can't do shit about it. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It was just like me, I'm just learning how to be my own woman. You know what I'm saying? And exploring my mother's insecurities that she hasn't shared with me that I see, you know what I'm saying? And extracting those insecurities from my own body, you know? So.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that in extra, you know, extra terms. Cause I mean, I didn't know completely. It felt very similar to what I had gone through, like just kind of, you know, branching out on my own too. I feel like the equivalent of your mother is the equivalent of my dad. Like, my dad was always, like, I've always, everything I did, I was like, what's my dad going to think about this? What's my dad going to think about this? So, once I finally broke out of that, like, everything has just been peachy keen, so.
I'm telling you, I mean, after I got that video and, like, was like, okay, well, now my mom knows, so I'm going to just go for it. Mm-hmm. My life is more in 3,000. So, I don't regret it.
Wonderful. So as I was mentioning before, we're in that sweet spot where we can analyze whether or not we want to follow tradition by getting married and getting that license or not. So I want to kind of talk about that for a little bit, just because knowing that I may go back and look at this when I am older and maybe I do get married and I will look at it and maybe like question some of the things I say. Like I kind of want this to be like a... Like, some people consider my podcast almost like a diary. I mean, I guess it kind of is in a way, but, you know, it's just kind of nice to kind of look back and see, like, what your perspectives were, not even, like, I don't know, like a year ago sometimes. So I'm excited, once this podcast really gets off its feet, to, like, go back and see if, like, I still agree with some of the things that I agree with at the current moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to give some quick facts from the Spruce. Well, it's not really facts. It's just something that, well, actually, yeah, it is kind of facts. the Spruce said, it says the main goal of marriage earlier on was to act as an alliance between families. Throughout history and even today, families arrange marriages for couples. Most couples didn't marry because they were in love, but for economic liaisons. The people involved didn't have much to say about the decision then, and often don't today either. So my big question is, if this is why marriages or marriage in general has started, like that was the origins of marriage, do you think that marriage is even necessary anymore? Are the tax breaks that we get from getting married, right, like just too hard to pass up these days because of, you know, our current society and how we view marriage, I feel like has been catered to folks that want to get married. I also want to kind of talk about right now what turns us off about marriage and what turns us on about marriage. But first, let's talk about if marriage is even necessary.
This is a hard one.
I personally think that marriage is only necessary because of the tax breaks. I think it's necessary because you get so many benefits from being married to someone that go above and beyond just like the, you know, the physical. When I think of marriage, I'm thinking of like joint bank accounts. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about joint things, like things that, you know, like it isn't when you get married, like your debt becomes another person's debt. Like if they have student loan debt, like that becomes your student loan debt too.
I think so.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. And that's not appealing to me, but like, I feel like there's other.
It's not cute.
I don't know. I think a lot of people get married for the wedding, however. A lot of people get married for the wedding.
I agree.
Yes. Yes, I would agree with that.
It's unfortunate because, like, you can have a wedding. I mean, you can have a party with you and your significant other without getting married. And still have the same, like, you could just call it a party. Like, a party. You know, almost like a birthday party, but, like, it's not a wedding, but it's still, like, encourage
you
gifts.
Can also have a wedding without a party.
You can
That is very
so the
true.
Fact I've thought about this a lot, the fact that I know a lot, I have a lot of friends who are in serious relationships, but they'll say like we're not getting married yet because we can't afford a wedding, and I'm like,
afford a marriage, babe.
You could go and get married, but you're choosing not to
because you want a wedding.
To check off this this box of like it's a checklist of things that we've been conditioned to desire. Like, I almost wonder, going back to our conversation about crying during marriages, I wonder if it's a realization of like, oh my God, like this person finally did it. Like, we've been waiting for this thing and they finally did it. Like that, like a graduation or like a accolade, any kind of accolade, that if I think about it from that lens, I could definitely see myself like crying about it. Like, I'm so proud of this person for reaching this goal.
Yeah.
That's real. I told somebody congratulations the other day and I kind of felt weird about it because of things like this. It's like, why am I saying congrats?
You ain't do nothing.
Right.
Right. Like, but I get it. Kinda. Listen, with all the new information, like the statistic you just gave, like, it's just like, it's a lot to think about. Like, it's a lot of like unlearning and relearning that we got to do. But I've been struggling with that too, because I've been wanting to be married for a long time. And I know that I want to be married. I know that I want to have a wedding. But I've also been okay with like, oh girl, but then I had to figure out like why I had wanted to get married and stuff. So, because I've been wanting to be married legit since I was like 15. Like, I'm like, if a man decides that he wants to marry me when I turn 16, I'm going to do it. Like, it was like,
is it just the idea of like, what is it about marriage that appeals to you? Like, why do you want to get married? What do you think you're going to accomplish? What do you think you can accomplish by getting married that you can't while not being married?
Oh, nothing, girl.
So it's just something you want.
Initially, I wanted to just be chosen by somebody. I know that was my initial like reason for wanting to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
chosen in what way? Like, what do you mean by chosen?
Like, you are the one that I want to solely commit to, or you're the one that I'm going to live with, or you're the one I'm going to buy things for.
So with that, you're saying that you want someone to choose you. What if there's someone else? Like, what if someone else comes on later and wants to choose you again, like after you get married? Like, think about it.
I've been struggling with that too. And when you and Martin did the monogamy episode, I was like, because I've been struggling, because it's like, dang, do I want more than one husband?
Yeah.
But
that's the
and it's like, what does that look like? Like, do we have to have more than one wedding? Like, where are we gonna live? You know, exactly. It's like, I don't know.
Because that's if someone is choosing, I guess the thing is like, when someone's choosing you, however, it's like, is it necessary that everyone else has to know that whoever is choosing you has chosen you? Like, does it matter more that everybody else knows that they've chosen you, or does it matter that you know? In that case, it's like, okay, do you want, like, is it necessary for you to have something that kind of gives every, I know a lot of folks, at least in traditional marriages, there's a lot of pressure from like the elders. They want to see their babies. They want to witness them get married. They want to be able to walk down the aisle before the wedding begins and, you know, say, yes, I'm their grandma, I'm their mother, or whatever. But I guess also the traditional aspect of it is just, I don't honestly know, honestly. I just know, like, it's been going on for so long that, like, people just don't even second guess it at this point. And I was also talking about how marriage is a business. How marriage, a lot of these folks that be doing these marriage businesses, like to the cover band, to the preacher, or, you know, the reverend or whatever, they just getting their money. You know, they're going to customize it however you want, like whatever songs you want to make it your day. But at the end, they want their change, like, and they want their money. So, and then I was also mentioning, like, marriage is, and as I was saying that with Bass on the last episode, you know, marriage itself, it's like, you got a 50-50% chance that you're going to get divorced. So why go through that risk? Why go through that? And I think it's just because a lot of people, again, they want to get through that wedding. I feel like it, I honestly think it's the wedding, y'all. I think it's the wedding. I feel like everyone wants that wedding. And then after that, you know, I mean, they're going to obviously, like, they'll have their high moments. They'll go to their honeymoon. They'll have their honeymoon phase. They're going to get all of these things done. Like, you know, they have songs about it. First comes love, then comes marriage, then come whatever, and the baby carriage. Like, they got songs to reminisce, like, what we should be doing with our lives, right? I don't know. That's why I have a self-aware millennial, because I like to talk about these things and, like, debunk them and, like, unpack them and, like, understand, like, where it's really coming from.
What you said something about wanting the wedding, and I remember I was trying to marry this man. right when I got out of college, I was trying to marry him. Like, I was like, we should just get married. Like, we should just get married.
Yeah.
And I was ready. I didn't want a wedding. I was like, we don't have to have a wedding. Like, we can have a party later. Like, I'm ready to go to the courthouse. I'm ready to get a ring. But it was really just because I wanted to feel complete. And that's, you know, that's something I had
you
to
feel
do.
That getting married is a completion? Like, there's a, like,
Well, I did.
Oh, you did.
I did okay. right out of college. Yes, I definitely gotcha. Did. But, you know,
that's that checklist.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little bit more whole. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I do want another whole person to compliment me. You know, I do, right. I do, you know, I do want somebody that I can talk to about things that I kind of can't talk to my girlfriends about, you know, or don't want to, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I do want that. And I do want that for a really long time. I do want that commitment. As for like, you know, committing to more than one person, I believe that having that person first.
Yeah.
Having that stable person.
A priority
we
person.
We can decide if we want to, you know, open it up. Because mm-hmm. I really don't have a problem with that. But I do desire security and stability, but not right. ownership.
Yeah. And that's what marriage right. provides. Like, that's what I was saying with Bats. Like, in marriage, you get security and you get stability, at least knowing that this person is committed to you. You are legally bound to each other as well. So it's right. not like you can just, like, too. Yeah. And I get that. I understand that. But there is a business to marriage now where, like, people are getting married for that financial stability, for that, I guess I would say mainly if I were to get married, it's because, at least in this moment, like, I can understand why people get married because of the financial stability. I'm gonna keep saying that, and I shouldn't keep saying that, but that's probably, like, one of the main
things.
That's
a thing. That's a thing.
But you
that
also,
a thing.
You
that's
were,
a real thing.
You were mentioning.
And a valid thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be taken care of.
Okay.
Because obviously you get married not knowing what's going to happen, clearly. You can't predict the future. But there's a lot of, like, I would say the expectations in marriage are all mm-hmm. almost the same. Or I guess, you know, there's always, like, a hope that it's going to work out. And I don't know how many couples that have gotten married already have taken those steps to, like, really think about, you know, what marriage actually entails. And the highs and the lows. What turns us off about marriage? Let's talk about that.
Traditional roles.
Like, what about it? Do you feel as though, like, when you get married that you lose some of your desirability, like you were saying earlier, with others? Like, because I know some people, like, they start calling, you know. Well, I mean, this is definitely more when you about, like, when you have kids, like, folks just, they just, like, okay, well, I guess she's out of the commission because she's had a child and she's married or whatever. Like, do you feel like that would be one of the turnoffs? I know for me, I personally am not going to change who I am. I know hormonally, mm-hmm. it may change for a little bit. And I mean, I can't attest to it until it actually happens to me. But, you know, I don't plan to slow down as long as I can keep going. So
okay,
but again, exactly. I'm saying this now and I may look at this later and have a child and be like, what was I thinking? But again, wishful thinking.
I would hope that I'm always going to be Therese and never just Blank's wife.
Yes.
Or that's something that terrifies me, because as much as we say these things, I see it happen so quickly. Like, mm-hmm. in an instant, you know, someone that was so self-affirming is suddenly, and we see people talk about it too,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
How it happens and how they are working to get back to that person. And so.
Are you saying this in general with, like, women who have gotten married or?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't hear this from men.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, no, I've never heard a man be like, ever since I got married, I just lost myself. Or
so true.
Ever since I had kids, like, I can't do the things that I wanted to do. Well, come on, guys.
I feel like there are some men out there that feel that way. But I think that may also come with age with them. However, I feel like once mm-hmm. they start getting elder and they're like, oh, I'm not this person anymore. Then they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm changing now, you know, and I'm a father and I'm a husband. Oh my gosh. But it doesn't usually come until, like, that age starts to hit them. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, they definitely have the, what do they call it? Like a midlife crisis type of thing.
Yes.
Instead of mortality.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I think all of us go through that at some point, but yeah.
Definitely.
I really expound on what turns me off about marriage, but do you have anything, Destiny?
What turns me off about marriage? Shit. Mm. Honestly, it's not a lot. And I don't know. I love the idea of being married. Like, I love it. I don't know.
Are you in, look, see,
you know, fantasy?
I'm curious because, like, I mean, I think a lot of people are in love with the idea of love. And it's like,
I'm a
love
Libra, comes so.
In. Well, oh, yeah, you a Libra. Okay. Well,
so it's like, I can't get away from it. I've really accepted it. Like, I literally said last week, I was like, okay, I'm just going to have 3 boyfriends and that's fine. And I met somebody yesterday and I'm like ready to get married today. So it's just like, okay. I don't know.
So the Libra rumors are true.
Oh, yes. I'm giving it to God, and He knows what to do because I don't.
Hey, self-aware friends, wanted to come here quickly and let y'all know about my exclusive community on Patreon. For as low as $5 a month, you will have access to bonus content, including Patreon exclusive episodes, behind the scenes footage of my self-aware livelihood in all its glory and all its gory. And you also have first dibs creative influence on the planning of my future episodes. If you are ahead of the game and caught up on all the episodes that I have posted so far, consider joining TSAM Patreon community so that you can get your fix of TSAM more than once a week. Thanks for tuning into this Patreon blurb, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Let's talk about children now. I know we kind of started talking about it a little bit, but as I said y'all earlier, all 3 of us are at the point in our lives that many mothers would argue they miss, but would not do again if it didn't mean they didn't get a chance to meet or raise their, you know, bundle of joy. So we don't have kids. I've also just recently been talking to a lot of new millennial mothers around my age that have mentioned, like, at this point in their motherhood, like, they are understanding of the fact that, you know, there are times where they do long to just be able to do whatever they want. But now that they have someone that they have to take care of and raise, you know, they are hoping that when they get older, that they'll be able to return to that a little bit. In the New York Times says that the average age to become a mother in 2020, as of right now, is 31 or 32 years old. Women with college degrees have children. Dang, did I write that correctly? Let me see. Women with children degrees have children an average of 7 years later than those without.
Okay.
So, and it says that often they use the years in between to finish school and to build their careers and incomes. So, with that being said, we're overpopulated as a globe. I don't understand why everybody is expecting to have kids at this moment because of that. I know China and Asia are, like, at least parts of Asia. I think it might be more of, like, the East Asian areas of Asia. But they have, like, condensed it where you can only have, like, 2 kids or something like that. Is that right?
Like on What Happened on Monday?
That's crazy. Yeah, because of overpopulation. Like, there's just so many people now, at least in their country for sure. But, like, even in America, like, I mean, I don't think, like, we need, like, I don't know if the globe needs this many people. You know what I mean?
We don't
need nearly as many people. And we, I mean, obviously, because of circumstance, like, capitalism and everything that's happening in our country, at least, like, we are thinking twice about having kids anyway, because we also can't afford to have kids and we can't provide for them. We're already struggling ourselves. It's like, why do we want to bring a child into this sort of world? But people do it for selfish reasons. As one of my TSAM listeners said, God, I had so much, you know what? I really should have, like, gathered, like, all of the comments I got from everybody about this, but I was talking about this a lot yesterday on the Instagram, and a lot of folks, like, kind of, you know, they were, like, agreeing with me, disagreeing and everything. What is y'all thoughts on the ongoing pressure to have a child as a millennial?
I want to have a child.
Why?
Because, okay, so this, I've been mulling this over all of these things are like connecting. So like, forgive my silence because I'm like, pressing and all of these things are starting to. If I could have a child today, I would have a significant other right now. And I mean, of course, like the desire to like reproduce may somewhat be biological.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But at the root, if we're talking about like society and like on this wave that we're, you know, generally talking about right now, I think it's about going into a new step of life, like life happening in these fragmented sections, like at this age you do this, and this age you do this, and this age you do this. Because as we're talking about marriage, I'm like, wow, like if I could be married right now, I would totally be married right now. I'm not down with those traditional values, like is marriage the Therese way.
Yeah. But
I would totally be married and have a child now if that just like fell into my lap.
Yeah.
And I think it's because like I'm 28 now. And there's this feeling of like, it's time. It's time to be somebody's wife and be in this different role.
Redefining marriage in Therese's terms. You want to get married. You still want to have that, like, but you want to do it the new age way. I get that because I feel the same way. I'm like, I want marriage, but like, I don't want it like my parents had marriage. Like, I don't want it all these other traditional ways. Like, if I'm getting married, I'm still going to be doing everything that I'm doing now. As single-ish Jessica, and like, you know, it's just gonna transfer and I'll just get more benefits because I have somebody.
Absolutely, you know. Absolutely.
Woo!
Financial benefits. There's social benefits to marriage too, you know?
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
For yourself and also for children.
Yes. Yes.
So when thinking about, especially like, you know, this isn't really the topic of conversation, but especially as Black women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, this is totally the conversation. Keep going. Go ahead.
Like, especially as Black women, just, oh my God, now I lost my train of thought.
It's okay. No, I think I can help you out with that. Like, Black women in general, when it comes to marriage, like, I feel like marriage is also one of those things that it kind of transcends all social classes. Classes of, you know, poor class, middle class, upper class, whatever. Like, I feel like everyone is trying
to do this.
Can do it. I mean, obviously, when it comes to, you know what? And that's probably why. Oh, this is a good one. Talking about, like, marriage and having kids is so much easier being, like, an upper class person versus being a lower class. Because you're usually almost stuck. Mm-hmm. After you get married, when you're in the lower, you know, like a, is it poor class, yes. Lower class? Yeah.
Working class.
Yeah. Working class. But also like if you are, let's say you're rich, you're wealthy. That's why they get married so often because they can afford to do that. They can afford to have however many marriages, however many kids.
And divorces,
you know? And so it makes it almost seem like marriage is more of a pastime.
Mm-hmm.
As an upperclassman versus being lower class, where it's like, okay, well, you are my one and only. We are going to get this through this together because we need each other to make it to the finish line, which is death.
That's so true.
Because you're with each other for eternity. So, as for like the Black community in general, sorry, I got to go back to the Black community. When did marriage ever become like? Was it? I forget if marriage was like a Christian. If it started as like a Christian construct, or if it was like another religion of some sort that created marriage.
Well, I think, what kind of marriage do you mean? Because I think that, like, if we think about, like, other cultures, then we know that, like, unions happen.
Yes.
Humanity.
Yeah. You know, marriages definitely were arranged. Like, most of them were from arrangements. Mm-hmm. They weren't even from the perspective of love. Being romantic. It was to solely preserve the family, to preserve the bloodline.
That's not what it's about anymore.
And even today, marriage is like that. Like they always want the wife or the bride or whatever to marry someone of higher stature or like that they know for sure is going to be able to take care of them. There's still like a very much almost a security, a stability situation when it comes to like families giving off family members to other families, if that makes sense. Oh, we were talking about kids and we went back, we got back to marriage.
Oh, Lord. I remember.
You got it? Okay.
I was connecting as Black women, having children in a home with two parents is a thing. Nuanced thing, a complex thing, but it's a thing, right? In society, it means something. If you have two parents, due to stereotypes, perhaps more so for us, and just how as growing as children, we internalize what parentage, marriage, relationships, how all of those things flesh out.
I wish I would have looked at it before we started this. Maybe I can look it up now. Of the statistics of like Black Americans that are still in, that still have, like, that their parents are still married or ever got married. Like, how many of them don't have, like, a married parent, if that makes sense. And if they desire that, like, the way that they kind of maneuver throughout the world, like, do they desire marriage for themselves because their parents were never married? Or, you know, like, I'm really...
Yeah, well, my parents were never married. And so now, as you're saying that, I'm going and connecting that back again to, you know, just like how it all connects. It's all like a tornado of things coming together.
Yeah.
As children, having the same last name as your father.
Yeah.
Wow. And how that manifests. I have the same last name as my father, mm-hmm. but I'm like, thinking of people who don't. Or thinking of like the feeling that I would feel as a child when people would address my mom as Mrs. my dad's last name when she doesn't have my dad's last name. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, like, it's a giveaway that, like, I'm not
in a two-parent household.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think about marriage for those reasons as well. Like, I will not have a child with a man that I'm not married.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
It hits me in that way.
Yeah.
So there's an identity there. There's an identity you want to be able to say, okay, and even the name of someone that you are married to or have a child for, or the child itself, you want that child to be able to share the same name of some sort with you and the person that you've chosen to have that child with.
Yes, absolutely. Acknowledging that, like, that's all like societal,
right?
Conditioning, gender norm, patriarchy,
right?
Completely acknowledging that, but also like
still wanting it,
like these valid and real feelings.
Yeah, because it's something that you never got for yourself, so you want to recreate. That makes sense. Like that's how evolution be. You know, you always want what you don't, when you don't have, and you, it's okay. Like, it happened. Ugh, what will I say to that? That, I can't say anything to that because my parents are still married. But the other thing I will say is that my parents have gone through a lot. Like, they're still going through stuff to this day. They've been married over 40 something years at this point. Exactly. But like, they've had their trials too. And it's like, you know, when I think about it, and I mean, I don't want to say this on here, but, you know, I think about, like, if I were in my mother's position, sometimes I'm like, I would not stay for this. Like, I would not stay for this or something. Or, like, if my dad's, sometimes, like, if I'm in my dad's position, I'm like, you want to put up with that? You know, like, it's something, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I would never. So I'm like, so I'm thinking, you know, some, I know, and it's especially in the Black community, there is an importance with keeping your marriage together to show the rest of this cold world that already don't have it out for Black folks, that Black folks can be together and they can stay together, that they don't just function on baby mama, baby daddies, whatever's like. So like, there's this stigma also in the Black community where like, it's like, yo, we can do this. We're gonna show them all wrong. No matter what, we are together no matter what, you know, and that's what marriage is technically supposed to be. But
love.
I mean, the thing is like, you got that Black love, but let's say that, you know, there's a lot of abuse, emotional abuse, a lot of physical abuse. Like, there's still all that's happening within, but yet you still want to stay in that, you know? And I mean, this happens in like all different cultures, but like I'm talking about the Black community specifically, because mm-hmm. there's just such a stigma in the media about what we already are and like how we function when it comes to relationships. So like proving society wrong by trying to Absolutely. Hold on to that love. And even if that love is not healthy, if it's not good for us.
Yes.
So, so with this conversation, I have some questions I want to explore before we kind of wrap up. And this was something that I posed on my Instagram about a day or two ago. But do you sense envy amongst millennials who are married and or with kids when you interact with them about marriage or parenthood? If not, do you think they pity you for, quote unquote, missing out on being married or having kids? Like, do you feel as though that there is like this envy that they may have towards you for being in the position that you are right now? I know some of them don't. Some of them are happily married and happily. But again, you got to think about it. A lot of our folks, at least, are young and life has not completely hit all of us yet. So that could change, you know, maybe 10 years down the line. But right now it's still new and fresh. Like they're still getting a chance to like watch things as they unfold. Like they've just gotten married. They're just starting to have kids and like things are still very new. It hasn't really settled in yet about like responsibilities, like after things don't seem nearly as new anymore. Because that's the other thing. You get a lot of attention mm-hmm. when things happen, like when you reach these milestones. But like once things start settling in, it's like, okay, now what? You know?
Yeah.
Destiny, too much. She's too much.
That's real. That's so real. I don't feel like anybody envies me though. Like I have a friend who's married and she tells me, you know, like she enjoys living vicariously through me, but she doesn't ever seem envious. Like she's always just like, yeah, girl. Oh, but it's probably just because she wants me to do it. You know, like she just wants me to do single things. But I don't ever get envious feelings from anybody, but I also only know one person who's married in my age.
Gotcha.
I don't know many people, like very personally, that are married, but I do know a few people with kids. I've seen envy like expressed not from people I know, like on when I read comments and stuff on social media and stuff. I've definitely seen that, but in my experience, I haven't seen any envy or pity.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, okay, so my friends who are mothers are like brilliant, amazing women, educated women, doing it all. And they definitely express like, how did I ever live without my baby?
Yes, 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 yeah.
But I will say that every one of them is like, don't do it yet.
Gotcha.
Wait.
Yeah.
It's a gift, but just take your time.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot too.
Gotcha. Well, I know I can't describe this feeling in full, but when I see a pregnancy announcement or like an engagement announcement, I'm normally happy for them, but I develop a dose of annoyance as well. And it's probably because it's all happening like to all of my peers, like all at the same time. And my desire to follow the crowd depletes every time I see like another pregnancy announcement or another marriage announcement. And I don't know what, it's always been that way though. Like it's been that way for the last couple of years from the first like person that like, I forget who it was. Actually, I think I remember the person who it was. Like my first classmate that was like, I'm getting married. Like right after they finished high school. So I was like, since then, I was like, oh, here we go. So I've always been trying to figure out and wonder, like, what is that coming from? What is that feeling, that annoying feeling that I'm getting? Where is that coming from? Where is that annoyance, like, stemming from? And why is it there? Have y'all had that feeling before? Like, when you see a pregnancy announcement or, like, a marriage announcement, an engagement announcement online, where you see, like, the marriage pictures or you see the baby bump or, like, the it's a boy, it's a girl sort of situation. But, like, all the different ways that people like to, you know, announce that they're getting pregnant, the ultrasound photo,
I've
the
felt
gender
it.
Reveals, like everything. And even when the child is born, like those cute photos, the family photos, the first family photo, like literally maybe like the baby has not even been wiped off yet, fresh out of the vagina.
Placenta and all, baby.
Yeah, placenta. Have y'all felt that though?
Yeah, it's always because I just want to be in that position. I'm always like wondering.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So you're annoyed because you want to be in that position. I gotcha.
I think I identify with that to an extent where, see, it's so complicated. It's so complicated.
It's very complicated. That's why we're talking about it.
Tying into what I was saying about hitting those milestones, and it's just like, mm-hmm. is it going to be my turn? When is it going to be my turn? But I identify with that a lot, Destiny. It's basically like, if we're just going to be real about it, like jealousy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
But I also sometimes, like, there's also a hint of, like, not necessarily jealousy, not necessarily anticipation for wanting to be in that position, but the feeling that I am behind that position and being like, y'all, slow down.
Yeah.
Everybody slow down.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's very interesting. That's so interesting. I guess my perspective is just different. I've always looked at it and I was annoyed, but I was never jealous. Like, I was just like, I don't know.
Because you just have your own ideas.
Well, like, it's because I think when it comes to me, like, I always, and I was talking about this actually, again, yesterday, I feel like a lot of people are sheeple and are just going to follow the crowd. They're like, oh, it's time. I said I was going to be married by 27 and I am 28. Yes. Let's go. I don't care who it is. Let's go. Let's let everybody else know that I am getting married. So let's just get it out the way so that I can get on with my life and feel like I am actually progressing. Like, it's like grade school where, you know, you got to pass a test in order to get to the next grade.
It's conditioning.
Exactly. So in this regard, like, I've never felt that pressure to get married. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. I have felt that pressure to get married or have kids, but I think it's funny. Some people I know, they have like thought about it long and hard. They've had all the uncomfortable conversations. They know what to expect, when to get married, when they're getting married or when they have kids. But a lot of folks I feel are doing it because everybody else around them is doing it as well, and they don't want to feel left out, as y'all said. And I don't know. I only want to experience that when I'm fully ready.
Yeah.
And I know, especially with, okay, because I know when you get married, like, that's a choice. Like, you getting married is a choice. That is a legal thing. Like, there's nothing bodily that happens when you get married. But when you have kids, or like when you're thinking about having kids, like, every little cute little Gerber baby looking back at you or whatever is going to make you, your ovaries start, uterus start like doing things or whatever. You feel a little tingling. It's like, oh, shoot.
That little flutter.
Yeah, the little flutter. So, you know, I realize, you know, biologically I have that, like, my body's like, yes, I want this to happen right now. It's your time. Do it. But, like, because of the certain, I don't know, like, I think about where I am in my life and what I want to do. And I always feel as though it would be more difficult for me to accomplish the things that I'm trying to accomplish for my life with a child, and knowing that I'm still not completely financially stable in order to provide for this child. Like, I want to be completely set. I want to be able to travel, do a little bit by myself before, like, or at least have enough money to, like, afford a nanny of some sort before I even get into wanting to have children. So,
for real.
But that's my take on it. Let's talk about what we learned in this discussion. I feel like it's important to know yourself before you make the decision to hold responsibility for another human's well-being. Yes. Whether you are raising a human or you are legally bound to a human now, it is important to be self-aware of the fact that your individuality must always remain at the forefront of your existence in your eyes and others' eyes. I do not want to be seen as just a, like you said, Therese, so-and-so's mother or so-and-so's wife, if I can help it. I want to have accolades that tie me to accomplishments that have much more to do with my talents and not what my body has naturally been set up to achieve. So like, I don't want necessarily my achievements to only be like, I don't consider getting married an achievement. I don't consider having a child. I mean, in a way, I think I consider having a child more of an achievement than getting married. I mean, getting married is a decision. Having a child, because of the risks that it takes on our bodies, I would consider it as an achievement. Especially if you're trying to do it with like nothing. Like, I know a lot of people doing these water births these days, and that's what I want to do. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, more power to
you. So, yeah. What do y'all think? Like, what have y'all learned about your self-awareness through this episode or through this conversation?
I agree with everything you said. I'm thinking about like how hard that is for women to remain like their individual self.
Yeah.
Just the societal expectations and how, like, I'm sure you guys have all seen, like, people will say things like, oh, like when you have a baby, like it's all about the baby, and like, and you're not living for yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing things for yourself, that's so, if you need, this is one I saw recently. If you need a break from your children, you shouldn't have had them. And I was like, you know,
what?
Like, yes, there's all this rhetoric that, that.
Damn, I can't take a break.
Specifically, I feel women are supposed to, like, you have a baby and then like, this is your role. This is who you are. And you know what? I see this in older women too. Going back to the talk that we had about mothers and how like it's so hard for them to let go of their children because that is all they are. After like 30 years, you are nothing left. Yeah. There's nothing left of you, and your children leave and you can't handle it because
you've dedicated your whole last 30 years to them.
What are your passions? What are your goals? What are your hobbies? What do you enjoy? Nothing.
Outside of your children, what are they? Yeah.
And I don't want to be like that.
I don't want to be like that.
I don't want to be like that either.
I
want to
do it.
I
don't
want to be like that.
Bro, actually, while we're on this subject, because I realized I did not talk about this. Wait, hold on. Let me just make sure. Oh, that's what it is. Huh? Okay, wait. This is perfect. We could segue into Jame Explains It All. Because I was like, wait, hold on. I feel like we have not talked about this. And I was like, oh, that's why. Because I put it somewhere important. So Jame Explains It All is an advice column. I would like to consider it. It's like, okay, so I should explain. Jame Explains It All is the name of my Instagram handle, as we all hopefully know at this point. I've named it Jame Explains It All, like the Nickelodeon show Clarissa Explains It All, but Jame.
I love that show.
Advice. It's like an advice column where we give feedback to listeners on something that interests us or something that they have a question about. But in this instance, I wanted to talk about something that I actually was talking about on my, I think it was my Facebook status that y'all all commented on, which I was so thankful for. But I want to kind of expound on this a little bit. So I asked, I was like, why do some mothers make it a point to remind childless, childbearing age women that they're not mothers and therefore have no leg to stand on in how to raise a child? It's a pet peeve of mine that I do not want to inherit if I become a mother someday. So basically, and even I had some mothers on that Facebook post as well, where they were just like, you don't know what it's like to be a mother, so you can't say anything about my children. You can't say how to raise my children. And I was just like, I'm not even trying to say that. Like, I'm even acknowledging I don't know how to be a mother. I don't know. I know that all children are different. I know that all humans that come out of these vaginas are different people. Their souls are different. Everyone is going to be disciplined a different way. I cannot begin to imagine how to discipline children. Like, that's why I don't have them right now. But I'm saying that if I see something is wrong, do I not have any leeway to say something to you or the child, because that child is not mine? I really want Therese to go into this because she's a teacher, a teacher, and so she deals with it a lot. Because she sees what the kids do outside of them being with their parents, and the parents only know that child from them being with the parents. And I even know when I was a kid, I acted differently with my friends or with my teachers than I did with my own parents. So it's like, I know that like there's different facets to a human, and they don't just have, it's not, they're not just one-sided. So go ahead, Therese, talk. I'm ready.
Yeah, I remember this post, and I felt really strongly about it because, and I'll just repeat myself here, we were all children and we were all raised, and therefore we all have valid information on child rearing.
Wow. Okay.
What? So, and just, I agree with what you said about, like, if you're looking at a situation with a child and you see something that is wrong or maybe could be problematic, I believe personally in village mentality.
Yes, and, it takes a village to raise a child.
We need to gather it all together. If you see my child out in the street,
handle up.
Please get them together.
Exactly.
I think that we stray from that sometimes. Mm. Just because, like, it's hard not to take it personally. Yeah. Because a child came from you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean just because you produced a child that you actually know what you're doing.
And baby, you also don't own that child. There's a lot of ownership when it comes to folks when they get married. Yes. And when they have kids. That's what I forgot to mention. There's an ownership. Yeah. There's a sense of ownership. And you do not own humans, man.
You don't. You don't own your child, and don't really have as much of a say as you think you do in who they are going to become, what they are going to do. And I mean, the reality is everybody is going to be like a little bit messed up. I think I mentioned that on the post too, because it's just so easy to mess up like a person. I was having this talk with one of my other friends about how like you make a comment to a child, they like you, we all know this, having been children, you, a one-off comment can carry with you for the rest
forever of and
ever. And sometimes have devastating effects on like self-worth, decision making, and like there's no way that just because you gave birth to someone means that you know what's best for them.
Right. I love it.
That's it.
I love it. That is it right there.
That's it.
I think I said something like that on the, I remember that post. Something like, all parents do their best, but that's not necessarily what's best.
Woo!
Girl, put that shit on a t-shirt. That's good.
That's going to be a clip. That is going on there probably tonight so that people can get ready for this episode in the next couple of, tomorrow actually. It'll be open.
Yeah, I would just implore more people to think about that, because it's hard. It's hard not to take on that. Because even as a teacher, sometimes like somebody will say, you talking about my kids?
Mm.
My kids in my class? And you don't know my kids? And like, you know.
You don't know your kids. That's the thing. Like people like, whatever. Go ahead.
How much do we hide from our parents and our family?
And the thing is like parents aren't, they're not perfect either. And that's the thing. Like you can't expect like, you think that your child is going to go to you for everything. I know I didn't go to my mother for everything, nor my father, nor anybody in my family. Sometimes I just told my friends. Sometimes I just told a trusted teacher, you know? Mm-hmm. And
sometimes you bury it and say nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, bro, it should not come as a surprise to parents when they hear about things that their child's doing. And they can't necessarily always just be like that. My child would never do that. I mean, certain things, yes, maybe they would. Our expectations about children and like people that we know in general should not be just from the perspective of our perspective of them. It should be from others too, because again, every person has different energies and they're going to give off different things. Those parents may have been so problematic to those kids that they can't reach out to them in that way. Maybe they want to tell their parents about certain things that they can only tell their teacher about. But because the parents have not curated an environment at home for that, that's why they're telling their teacher. And I think parents need to be a lot more aware and understanding of that and open to that. And don't, I mean, yes, they're obviously going to take offense to it, but like, it's weird. I'm going to tell them grow up. I want to tell them to grow up. I don't know
what you need, though. It's like you got to do the same thing that you want me to do. Really, like I, ooh, girl, okay.
Mm-hmm. We just have to accept reality, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. It's difficult. I know. It's just acceptance that no matter what you do, no matter how great of a parent you are, your child will have some flaw, some insecurity, some deep-rooted hurt, because that is just the nature of life.
Yeah, very true. And on that note, man, that's wonderful. I really appreciate y'all for coming on this episode. But before we get out of here, I want to also just reinstate, I think I mentioned this on the last episode, or maybe it was the episode before last, but I've started a light skin, dark skin comparison survey. One for Black folks. Oh, you took it? Okay, cool. I can't wait. I've been starting to read the responses, and I think on the next episode, I'll start, like, putting it out and just, like, giving some... Oh, God, some of them were so good. I can't wait for y'all to see it, but I started that survey. It's already out for anyone that wants to take it. I've done three different surveys. They're all fairly similar, but they're all geared towards either someone that is Black, white, or a person of color. Yeah, the results are going to be on TSAM's website in the next couple of days. I wanted to give a little extra time for folks that are just starting to find out about the responses. So far, I've had over 60 responses between all three surveys, but it's probably more at this point. I need to go back and count, but it's been going great. Thank y'all so much for all of the responses so far. Before we get out of here, I want to get y'all's social media handles so that people can follow y'all. I mean, I know we're talking about kids and like getting married or whatever, but this does not mean because we are single women that we are going to be your babysitters. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay.
We talk about this. We're talking about like we know things about kids and everything and whatnot. We may seem like we, you know, are good with kids. I mean, I guess we probably all are. But the other thing is that we are not looking for babysitting services right now. No. I just wanted to mention that. Okay.
With or without a pandemic, baby.
With or without a pandemic. Yes.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Destiny, what's your Instagram handle or your social media handles for everybody?
Yeah, my Instagram handle, which is probably the one I use the most, is Destiny.Simone.
And I am T, like the letter T, underscore, and Crumpets. T and Crumpets.
Oh, that's so cute. Crumpets.
That's because, okay, it's been that for years. And this is why, like, way back when, like, Instagram first came out, everybody was, like, coming up with, like, puns for their Instagram handle. And I could not think of anything for Therese. The only thing I could think, it was either T and Crumpus or like Tyrannosaurus Riz.
Ah! That's cute though.
Yeah. Oh Lord.
It just kind of stuck.
I love it. Well, y'all, if you have any suggestions on future things that you'd like for me to cover on the Self-Aware Millennial, you can email me at theselfawaremillennial@gmail.com. You can follow and DM me on Instagram at theselfawaremillennial. And while you're at it, give TSAM 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, because I know a bunch of y'all, like at least 60% of y'all, as it says in my stats, are listening to this over Apple Podcasts. So while you're there, just scroll down a little bit and do the little 5 stars for me. And also when it comes to the Jamie Explains It All advice column, you're more than welcome to, if you have any questions or you need some advice and you'd like me to unpack it on the show, you can email me or DM me as well at those socials that I just gave you. And if you're all caught up on and are itching for more self-awareness content and discussions, consider joining the Self-Aware Millennials Patreon, where you will find bonus episodes, video recordings that didn't make the show. And most recently, I actually just mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, that I'm going to be starting a Chronicles of Non-Monogamy series for the Patreon community. But it's kind of like what we did with Bats last week. But I'm going to expound on it more and just have other different discussions about monogamy, non-monogamy as well, and sex exclusively on Patreon. So let me know if y'all want to be on the episode and we'll get it started. Well, we will get it started. Don't worry. But I want it to be exclusively for the Patreon community, only because that subject matter in particular is very important to me, especially right now. And I want to gather a community of folks that want to have these discussions with me so we can be in a controlled environment and we can expound upon these things without fear of judgment or, you know, just like being... I don't necessarily mind having an open discussion, like even on here, like through Self-Aware Millennial itself, but I feel like having it on Patreon, I can do more with it. Like if I feel like posting, like especially if we're going to start talking about porn or whatever, I want to be able to show y'all some of my favorite porns and just be like, I like what they're doing here. Like I want to be able to just show it to people, but I can't do that like on my Instagram. I can't do that like on any of these domains or whatever. So I've got to do it on Patreon. So again, that's going to be coming up soon, and I'm already gathering a list. So if y'all want to get on that list, let me know. We'll get it going. And those episodes are going to be starting on October 1st. So if you're not on Patreon, get on Patreon. I'm hopefully by then I'll have enough leeway where I can have enough episodes just to kind of put on cue for next month, because right now I'm still doing everything all by myself. So I don't want to get too pressured and just too overworked that I won't be able to maintain it. So I'm kind of taking it an episode at a time. But anyway, join Patreon, y'all. And thank y'all so much for listening to another episode of The Self-Aware Millennial. Again, you were with Destiny and Therese. Please follow them on their socials. And I will see you in 2 weeks for another episode. Bye.